You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and we are joined today by James Snyder, who is the compiler and editor of a new series of books by A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors. And I'm so excited to have you, James, with us to help us understand a little bit more about Tozer. You've written a biography on his life, and you've also compiled these books. I have in front of me right now The Crucified Life, How to Live Out a Deeper and Christian Experience. But before we get into this book specifically, James, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your initial interest in talking about A.W. Tozer?
Okay, well, Adam, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate this opportunity. When I was a young teenager, somebody in our church gave me the book, The Pursuit of God, and that sort of started my my journey with A.W. Tozer. I'm the kind of person, when I like an author, I want everything he's ever wrote. I want everything anybody else has ever written about him. And as I grew, I realized there was no really authentic biography of A.W. Tozer. And so that's what started me off. I interviewed people, and I got the biography, and I just could not believe how appropriate Dr. Tozer's ministry was to me as a young person, and that sort of got me interested in his work.
Now, the book that you've written, that you've referenced, this biography, is The Life of A.W. Tozer in Pursuit of God. I can only imagine in putting the time into that book, learning a little bit more about him. I've read that book, and I think that there's one other biography that came out recently on Tozer as well. And I'm like you, I've read The Pursuit of God. It kind of drove me deeper into wanting to know more about the person who is such a close connection with Jesus. I've probably read it 100 times. I could quote it almost word for word. So tell me a little bit, tell our listeners a little bit about Tozer, because his life is really a testimony of grace, isn't it?
I think so. He was born in, 1897 in western Pennsylvania. He went one day to the eighth grade and came home and told his mother, "I think I can learn more on my own." And so that sort of started him on his learning experience. They moved to Akron, Ohio, because of the rubber factories, and he got a job there. He encountered a street preacher and went home and really got born again. I mean, his life was really turned around. And so he started preaching on the streets. And he was going to a church, I won't mention it, but he was going to a church, and they said, "Wait a minute, you can't preach because, you know, you don't have an education." So he switched churches to a church, the Christian Missionary Alliance, which really fostered that. Here's an interesting thing about Tozer. He started a church down in West Virginia, him and his cousin. And he wanted to become a pastor with the Christian Missionary Alliance. They interviewed him. And the ordaining council said, "There is nothing about this man that really, he doesn't have any gifts about being a pastor. I don't even think we ought to ordain him." And one guy said, "Well, he has such a passion for the Lord. Why don't we just give him a chance?" And I would have loved to have talked to those people after Tozer had made his mark. But he made his mark not because of who he was or his education, but he made his mark because of his uncompromising commitment to Jesus Christ. And that was the thing that really marked him throughout his life.
It seems that his book, The Pursuit of God, is probably his most known work, along with The Knowledge of the Holy. But in this book, The Pursuit of God, which was my entry into his writings as well, he really puts his heart on his sleeve. I think that's what really stood out for me. This was also formative in his preaching, correct?
Right. And he doesn't write in theological jargon. I mean, he just puts it down on the paper, just plain, so that when you read it, you know what he said and what he meant. And I think that was the great impact of Dr. Tozer, particularly in my life.
I want to talk a little bit now about these compilings and your job as an editor of some of his never-before-published books. Where did you get access to this material? I have in front of me the book, The Crucified Life, How to Live Out a Deeper and Christian Experience. Where did you get the content to be able to put these books together?
Well, when I was researching the biography, I would collect, do you remember what cassette tapes were?
I'm not that young.
Oh, you're not that young. But I would collect every sermon that I could put my hands on. Most of them were in cassette tapes. I got a few that were reel to reel. Nobody remembers those, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We still have some of those, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I put them on digital. But anyway, the quality of those tapes was very, very poor, the audio quality. But the message was so relevant for today that I thought the message has to get out. And the only way to do it was to take these tapes and develop them into book projects. And the Tozer Estate gave me exclusive rights to all of the audio tapes of A.W. Tozer. So I'm able to take these and develop them into certain book projects.
It is a shame that the audio, because we have a few of those reel-to-reel of his preaching as well, and it's just a shame that the quality is so poor on some of those where you couldn't put them up on the radio. But I'm so thankful that that doesn't mean it's a dead end, because you've been able to put them into these books. I'm sure going through those audio messages, you can kind of get the themes which kind of focus your teachings on or focus the titles of the books, because he often spoke on particular themes, and this one in particular, The Crucified Life, is something that was very prominent in his passion and his heart, right?
Oh, yes. That was really the focus of his life and ministry and so forth, that you have to experience that. It's the Abraham-Isaac kind of a thing. And sometimes people think that God wants me to give up my sin. Well, God can't accept my sin. God wants me to give up my Isaac, and that's what Tozer was talking about, that you have to give up that which really defines who you are, that which you would die for, so to speak, and put it on the altar. And once my life is completely on the altar, then the Holy Spirit can begin flowing his life through me. And I think Abraham, and Tozer points this out, Abraham gladly would have said to God, God, take me, let my son live. But God wants to take that which is so important to us, to put that on the altar so that God has complete access to our life. And I think that's what Tozer is talking about, that God wants to have complete access and authority in our life, and that's important.
Yeah, it's interesting. He talks about that as well in The Pursuit of God, the thing that we love the most, and that Christ is always the desiring aspect, that when we place him first, all of these other things fall into place. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. This was 80 years ago that Tozer was preaching this to a culture and a generation that in today's day really needs to hear that message. It was almost like he was preaching long before his time, but certainly a message that they needed, 80 years ago as well, correct?
Yeah, well, when I'm working on a book project, I have to stop and say, no, wait a minute. He preached this in 1957. How did he know where the church would be today? And the answer to that is simply this. Tozer did not focus on trends or fads. He focused on truth. And here's what he says about truth. If it's true, it's not new. And if it's new, it's not true. And so he focused on that. So what he focused on back in the 1950s, is still important to the Christian life today. And that's what makes Tozer so relevant, I believe.
Now, in listening to his sermons on audio, he had a certain dry demeanor in his presentation. What was it about him then that made him such a strong appeal? When he was out in Chicago, so many people would come to his church and listen, and it was right by an airport. You can even hear sometimes
right.
The planes
yes.
going over during these audios. What was it about him that drew a crowd? Because I have to admit, he's very dry in his demeanor.
Well, that's very true. I have hundreds of his sermon notes, and he would take a sheet of paper, fold it in half, and just jot down notes on that inside page. So he didn't have a manuscript. When he get and these sermon notes, I have the same sermon, the audio sermon, and I try to follow the notes, and he just goes down rabbit trails, if you know what I mean. He was a preacher for the moment. He would get started, okay, in the sermon notes. I see he gets started, and he follows this, and pretty soon something happens. Ray McAfee, which was his assistant for many, many years, says he would wait for that moment, and all of a sudden, Tozer would be going off like an airplane, you know, beginning to fly. And so when he began to really preach, he was beginning to talk to the hearts and souls of people who had a desire for the Lord. In some of his books and sermons, he says, "I do not write or preach to the mediocre. I only write and preach to those who really have a heart for God." And I think that's what stirred his messages. He was not a Calvinist. He was not an Arminian. And so he appealed to people who really had a heart for God. And I think that's the appeal of his books today.
It's interesting with his preaching and his success in his writing and his legacy that he's had. He never really had a huge church, not in today's in mindset. His church was always around 300, correct? And he started with a very meager means, correct?
Well, the church in Chicago when he went there was sort of a converted garage. But he built it up, and I think there was about 800 in that church, 600 to 800. A third of that congregation would be students from Moody and even Wheaton. Some of them would come over. So he really didn't have a large church. When he went to Toronto, he had a church of 1,200. And in 3 years, he had built that up to 800. because he focused on what is really central about the Christian life. And there's a lot of people that go to church that just want to feel good. Well, you didn't feel good if you went to Dr. Tozer's church, because unless the Holy Spirit was disturbing you and working in you, then Dr. Tozer did not think he was doing the job that God had called him to do.
It is interesting because his preaching, as you say, speaks directly to the heart, and it causes that issue of self-reflection. And if you're not really getting what he's talking about, it actually makes you feel uncomfortable. His passion, his desire, his love, his pursuit of God makes your lack of pursuing God a very uncomfortable position to be in.
Yeah, and if you're sitting in the audience there, if I can say that, and you're trying to take notes, about a third through the sermon, you lose sense of the notes, and you get caught up in his spirit of worship and adoration. Everything about him had to be worship and the adoration of God. And I think that is an important element of his preaching and his writing. He often said this, and I love it. He said, "I will not allow Hollywood to define God for me." He wanted to get down on his knees and open up his heart and just let the Holy Spirit minister to him. And we don't have much of that today. We have programs and this and that and the other thing. But Dr. Tozer, if God did not do it, it didn't really get done in his life. And that's the important thing to me.
Well, you've compiled quite a few of these books here from his audio, from some of his writings, I'm sure. And I've read through a couple of them, Delighting in God, Preparing for Jesus' Return. You've got quite a number of them here. How much of his audio are you able to gather together to catalog, to categorize, and to compile into books? I mean, there's a lot of audio there. How much of it has been able to be boiled down into different series?
Well, I have approximately 600 audio sermons, and so I think I've done 19 books from the audio, and I think I have 10 more on the table that I'm working on. So there's a bunch of books out there. In fact, the Delighting in God is sort of a sequel to The Knowledge of the Holy. The Knowledge of the Holy has to do with the attributes of God. But the problem with Dr. Tozer was he couldn't stop talking about God. And even, I think that was in 1960 when he published that book. And after that, he's still talking about God. And so I found all of these sermons that are kind of follow-up of what he was saying in The Knowledge of the Holy. And so I put these sermons together in a book. This is the one that came out last year called Delighting in God. And the thing that's interesting about that is he talks about our perception of God, and that when we get to know God, we will begin to understand who we are as Christians. And I think that's very, very important. We need to know what in the world we are. Well, we got to know God. Our perception of God reveals to us what God expects out of us. And I think that's very, very important for us to get a hold of as Christians today. We are allowing the world to define us. In fact, Dr. Tozer says that our worship of God will reveal our perception of who we think God is, because God cannot accept worship from someone who is unholy. And we have today, our worship is a reflection of the world and culture rather than the reflection of our perception of God. And I think that's where we're in real, real deep trouble in our world today.
Yeah, Tozer does talk about worship quite a bit, and this is really the kind of symptom of a heart that is worshiping God. It's really the byproduct of a heart that is seeking God. There's going to be true worship, but there's so much that he was railing against that was the false worship, the man-centered excitement, the fire that we built as opposed to the fire that the Spirit built within us, correct?
Yeah, well, you have somebody who Saturday night was out partying and drinking and carousing and all the stuff they do. Then they come in church Sunday morning, and the music begins to stir them up emotionally, and pretty soon they have the idea that they're worshiping. Now, that kind of worship is not acceptable with God. That is the kind of worship that we are giving to God now. It's like putting a swine on a Jewish altar, as far as Dr. Tozer was concerned. God can only accept that which is reflected of his nature and his character. And so today we've just taken worship and just thrown it out to the world, and I think that's terrible.
So in this follow-up of The Knowledge of the Holy, as he talks about God, I think what you have captured in that book, Delighting in God, as well as what Tozer is really emphasizing, is this vastness between our need for our depravity, our sinful nature, and this beautiful picture of God's holiness, and how that gap is bridged in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's sort of the central focus of that book, correct?
Yeah, and throughout the book he says several things like this here. Just because it's in the Bible does not mean it's in me. And my challenge is to go before God and allow the Holy Spirit to take that which I see in the Bible and birth it in my life and begin changing and having me to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just because someone says, I believe in God, isn't it in James where it says the devils believe and tremble, So if you say, well, I believe in God, okay, you're in the same category as the devil. Now, here's what Tozer says. It's not what I believe, it's how I live. It's the experience that I have with God. And in the Crucified Life book there, he's talking about the fact that I need to surrender, and my surrendering and being crucified is not a one-time experience and then, hey, it's over and let me get on with my life, but it is a day-by-day, moment-by-moment, and the only time it is finished is when I see Jesus face-to-face, and that is the progression of the crucified life.
Galatians 2:20, which you use in reference to this book, says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What are the principles that Tozer is trying to emphasize are essential for a crucified life?
Okay, what he is saying is simply this here. The first phase is, I need to put myself on the altar. Everything about me, no, nothing held back. I need to put it on the altar. Just when Jesus was crucified on the cross, every aspect of his life was in torment and finally died. I need to put everything on the altar. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. It's not I that lives. The result of the crucified life is the life of Jesus Christ now being lived in me and through me. And I think that is so very, very important, and that's what he puts out in the book, The Crucified Life, that it's not me that's doing it, it's Christ. If I can do it, why do I need God in my life? And so I need to come to the point in my life where it's not me, but it really is God. I just finished a book that will come out sometime this year on Alive in the Spirit. And here's the thing that he differentiates. There are talents, and then there are gifts of the Spirit. Talent is something that man can develop and learn, and it glorifies man. The gifts of the Spirit cannot be learned. They are the work of the Holy Spirit, and they exalt Jesus Christ. Now he says, we have a choice. Am I going to live my life and run my church on talents, or am I going to let it be done through the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit? And too often today, and this was his criticism, too often today, we have talented men running churches through their talents and business skills and so forth and so on. And all that church does, all that ministry does, is to glorify man. It never glorifies God. And so Tozer wanted to get away from that and get into that crucified life where I have died to the point where now the Holy Spirit can do whatever he wants to do without my interference. And that's a hard place to get to, but it's the goal in the Christian life.
We have in the picture of Jesus Christ not only our salvation, but also a demonstration on how we ought to live our life in this sacrificial way. We're told to take up our cross and follow him. I think Tozer, for myself, in reading his books, really captured that motivation, because he puts in it both the honesty about it, that it's going to be a perilous journey, just as Paul said, that if you want to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. But also he pictures that in such a beautiful way with really the joy of living the crucified life. Maybe you can comment on that from Tozer's own personal life, both his struggles and his pleasures of knowing Christ and making him known.
Well, I think it can be boiled down to this. If I am deeply, radically, and he likes that word radical, if I'm deeply and radically in love with Jesus Christ, I have no sacrifice. There is nothing else that really matters. And I think we need to get into that point. And that's where Tozer got. He didn't allow his family to come between him and God, and some people criticized him for that, or his friends, or even his ministry. In fact, late in life, a big foundation, Christian foundation, approached Tozer. What they wanted to do was to put him into a nice house and give him a salary, and so he could spend the rest of his life writing and doing that kind of thing. And he refused that because his life was a life of sacrifice. And so if I love the Lord Jesus Christ as radically as God wants me to, then there is no sacrifice. It's all a joy, because my joy is not in my accomplishments, but rather my joy is in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was one of the reasons why Tozer loved the mystics so much, and people criticized him about that. But he said about the mystics, I don't agree with everything that they say, but this is the thing that fascinates me, he says. They love God, radically and extremely. I want to know why they love God, what they see about God, and how I can love God in that vein. And so it all boils down to my pursuit of God. That's the beginning and the ending, I think, of Dr. Dozer.
We've been talking with James Snyder. He's the compiler and editor of a series of never-before-published books by A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors who really captured my heart with his book, The Pursuit of God. And we've been discussing a series of his books, but particularly this one, The Crucified Life, How to Live Out a Deeper and Christian Experience. And if you want to find out more information about this interview and, of course, this book and these series, you can do so by visiting our website at songtime.com or giving us a call at 508-362-7070. James, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for really putting the time and energy into compiling these books by A.W. Tozer.
Okay, well, thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.